you, Jesus.
Well, today I'd like to talk about the rock, Christ Jesus.
That sounds good, right?
You know, the world is so full of change. I don't know how many have seen the TV program House Hunters International. No? One, two. Well, that's where couples go from one part of the world, usually Toronto or California somewhere, sometimes the Northeast, and they go off to India or they go off to Vietnam or they go off to Italy, France, England, and they find another place, and they're given three choices, three different houses. Obviously, a lot of this is staged, you know, beforehand, but it's always amazing how the couples always have some sort of halfway adversarial process going on. One of the either the husband or the wife wants to have an open kitchen or small kitchen or whatever, and all these kinds of things. But what's amazing to me is how things have changed. Like when I built my house, and when we moved in 1999 or something, right? It seemed like a nice place to me. However, it still does, by the way. If you were to take one of these couples in, and they see this our kitchen, they would, I know what they would say immediately. Oh, this is my grandmother's kitchen, or this is my grandmother's furniture. I don't want to live here, you know, that's something like that. And I go into my kitchen, I look at it again, and say, it doesn't look like my grandmother's kitchen at all. So things change, you know. People have different ideas, concepts, and stories that they say to themselves about what they want and expect and what they live in and the homes that they live in. That doesn't just apply for that. It applies to almost everything in our life, our cars that we drive, and the clothes that we wear. I mean, if you go back and look at some of the pictures when we first started out in 1970 with the bell-bottom pants and plaids and double-knit pants. The bell-bottoms are cool. And the moppy hair, some of us are still stuck in that, but, you know. So. if you want to see all that, you can go down to New Pulse. But for the most part, things change, right? And politics change, too. So we considered back in the day, when I was in grade school, that JFK was a liberal. Now, if you look at the values that JFK had, they would be viewed as conservative, even regressively conservative, right? Yeah, like a marriage between husband and wife. How terrible. you just keep going. Presidents had different expectations, for sure. Even funerals, apparently, they're more about other people than the people that they're burying. That doesn't make any sense to me. But, you know, things change. But there's one thing that will not change. One thing, are you ready for this word? That's immutable. Now, that's the word for the day, immutable. Immutable. It's not able to change. It's never going to change. The rock, Christ Jesus. It's interesting that in Psalm 118:22 it says, the stone, the rock, that the builders rejected became the chief cornerstone. So there was change going on, and they didn't even see the foundation of everything, the foundation of the universe. They rejected it. The stone which the builders rejected became the chief cornerstone of the church. And that's what, when Peter said, well, you're the Christ. You are the chosen one. And Peter said, that's the rock of who I am. Now, it's interesting. We all have concepts of things. So I was thinking as we were worshiping before the Lord today, you know, we were worshiping many, many years ago in Cheryl's father's living room. Still there, the living room is still there, with the same fireplace, but almost everything else has changed. And I was thinking, how many people were in that living room? Maybe 20, 25? So I counted, we got about twice that many. But you know, we were worshiping the Lord. You know, in those days, in that day, in that hour, Dale had no idea of where God was going to take him with Fountain of Life. In fact, I remember when they named the church Fountain of Life, I thought, what a crazy, crazy name. Fountain of Life is so old-fashioned. So how about, you know, the fountain or something better than that? But anyway, it was the Fountain of Life. That's the way it was. And then he didn't know, this is Dale we're talking about. He didn't know whether we should have eldership or not. And it, to me, it was obvious. I remember going to him. I said, Dale, yes. This is the direction God wants us to go on. He says, well, you pray about it. Well, I did pray about it, and he did become our first elder. Remember that, Peter? Yeah. And so we went through a lot of changes since then. But there's one thing that did not change, which was immutable. Immutable. Didn't change. Was not capable of being changed. That was the rock, Christ Jesus. The same rock I worshiped then, I worship today. And I don't have to worry about it moving. I don't have to worry about the foundation cracking because of an earthquake. There's only one other place. Well, you remember the parable Jesus says, if you build a rock upon the sand, you're in big trouble. When storms come, that house is going to be washed away. But if you build a house upon the rock, implying the rock Christ Jesus, you're going to stay. And the only other place that probably won't work, Raymond knows, that won't work on an Arctic glacier or an Antarctic glacier. You want to build your house so you can move it. Although in McMurdo, I think where they built the foundation there, that rock is not affected by the glacier. Is that right? Yeah. So they built the main base in Antarctica on the rock. They're smart guys. So what is it about the rock that I really appreciate? Well, I appreciate the fact that it's not going to move. That whether my clothes change, whether I want open kitchen design or not, doesn't matter. Whether the style of the cars change this year, next year, whether new laws, new president, new things happen, whether the whole society goes in the wrong direction. It did once. It'll do it again probably. But there is one thing that will not. That's it's our Lord Jesus Christ. The truth that he brings to us is immutable. It's not able to change. I thought about that. Not able to change? God isn't able to change? Yes, he isn't able to change because he is the truth. He's the rock. He is something that by its definition is unchangeable. Jesus says in John 14:6, I am the way. So that's the road to what? Truth and the road to honesty, the road to success, the road to anything that you want to go to. He says, I am that way. And that way is the truth. And that truth will bring you life. If you want death, go another road. But there's no other way that exists except our Lord Jesus Christ. He said, I am the way. He didn't say, I am the way, and by the way, here's choice B and C. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. There's no other way. So what does this rock have that I want? It has the truth. Not only does it have the truth and knowledge of the truth, but it's more than that, because I can have all wisdom and I can utterly fail. I can have all knowledge and utterly fail. So I must have something about that truth that's deeper than just knowing the facts. And that thing is of being a lover of the truth. He births in us, we come to him, an idea, a concept that we are lovers of the truth now. We're no longer lovers of lies. A lot of people are lovers of the spin. I love the news as long as it's spin the right direction. Right? But the lover of the truth wants to go that extra mile and says, I don't really just want the truth. I want to be a lover of the truth. Look at the scripture in 2 Thessalonians 2, if you'll turn there. Second Thessalonians 2, verse 9. The coming of the lawless one is according to the work of Satan. And those are the ones that practice lawlessness, which all power, signs, and lying wonders. So he has all kinds of things at his disposal, and with all unrighteousness, deception among those who perish. Does that sound like what's happening today? There's fake everything. Because, listen to this verse, because they did not receive the love of the truth. That's echoed in Romans and a lot of other places in the scriptures. But it's almost as if he's saying, when you get to know God, it's a gift to be a lover of the truth, and you have to reject it to go the wrong way. Satan rejected not only the truth, but the love of truth. You have to really not just want it, you have to be in love with it. We were talking this morning over breakfast. Well, the truth sometimes isn't always pretty. Abortion happens. It's a real phenomenon. It's the truth. But you put a spin on it, it becomes a lie. Well, he's not really alive. It's just tissue. See what it's saying? If you're a lover of the truth, you would never say that. Say, no, it's alive. It's a human being. It is known by the Father even before they're born. But they did not receive the love of the truth. I have that underlined in my Bible, that they might be saved. So how are you saved? You're not saved by knowing the truth. You're saved by being a lover of the truth. If there's anything that I want my students to know, it's that they should know and love the truth, not some spin. Not just what they want to know, not just the facts, but the lover of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this reason, God will send them strong delusion, that those who have rejected the truth, that they should believe the lie. And they believe it. They believe it. They believe a lie. They believe that abortion is not killing children, unborn children. They don't believe that. And some of them, by the way, do. And they don't care. Even worse. That they might be condemned who did not believe the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Where's our pleasure? In the love of the truth. Number two, what is it about the rock? Knowing right from wrong. Not just a list of rules, but knowing right from wrong. When I was in grade school, we had a whole different language, what I would call a schoolyard language. Some of it's not worthy and appropriate to mention in church. A schoolyard language in high school days could be cruel, malicious, and it didn't matter whose feelings you stepped on. It was denigrating, call people names all the time. But there was always in that process a struggle to know what's fair and what's not fair. How many times have I heard, life isn't fair? How can you explain a God of righteousness if life isn't fair? Well, in fact, Isaiah and a lot of other places, it says that not only is God fair, but he is the source of all justice, fairness. Therefore, the Lord longs, this is in Isaiah 30, verse 18. Therefore, the Lord longs to be gracious to you. So the part of grace is entwined with this and is inextricably linked with this. And therefore, he waits on high to have compassion on you, for the Lord is a God of justice. So graciousness and compassion are linked to fairness and true justice. How blessed are those who long for him. They don't just long for grace and compassion, which everybody wants to hear today, but they want to long for the God of justice. So that's number two. The rock is a God of justice. It's a God of the lover of the truth, and he's a God of justice. Number three, the rock and the knowledge of truth is born out of relationship with Jesus, the Word of God. Jesus is the Word, even from the beginning. It's born out of not just knowing the Word, but it's born about having a relationship with him. If you don't have a relationship with Jesus, you can't really know the truth. You can't really know the rock. You know about him, but you don't know him. John 1:1-14, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. So he's really saying right at the very beginning of creation, the beginning of time, even before time, Jesus was there. The beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He, that is Jesus, was in the beginning with God and the Word. He, the Word, was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing has been made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and guess what? The darkness did not comprehend it. Jesus, that rock before us, not like the stuff we learn in school that changes. Even some of the stuff we learn in science today changes. Like I remember a few years ago, they were saying, you know, we're having so many hurricanes coming through the Atlantic because all these dust storms are coming off the Sahara Desert, and the water droplets from the, you know, tropics are condensing on this dust, and then the dust settles into the Caribbean. Just the other day, I just think it was yesterday's news, some meteorologist says, yeah, the reason we're not having hurricanes is because of all these dust storms. Well, you can't have both. Which is it, the dust and hurricanes, or dust and no hurricanes? So science changes their mind too, apparently. But Jesus is the Word of God, something that's immutable, unchangeable. And that Word didn't just stay in heaven. We even sang a song about that. He came down to be with us. He rent the veil of the temple so he could be with us, so that he could have a relationship with us. So that relationship with Jesus is so important. He is the Word. And says the Word, in the same chapter, says the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. We weren't just observing it. We beheld it. And the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Wow. Jesus, my rock. How precious is that thing? Whether you had a good time worshiping the Lord today, or whether there was a lot of prophecies or not, or whether there was a lot of exhortations that were really dynamic or not, doesn't matter. The rock, Christ Jesus, never changes. You could be in the most anointed service you ever were in this morning, and the rock, Christ Jesus, didn't change. That's right, Joni. Didn't change. He didn't change. He's not going to change. He isn't going to move. You move to be conformed into Jesus. Jesus doesn't move to be conformed into you. Oh, I'd really like it if Jesus could accept some of my problems. Not only my problems, some of my character. Well, who's speaking there? My old man, my old nature. But when you're filled with the Spirit, something else happens, and that's number four. To be born of the Spirit is part of being partaking of the rock, Christ Jesus. The only way is to be born again, born of the Spirit. Spirit born and bred, being led by the Spirit of the living God. Not a dead God that we worship this morning, but a living one. And you're born of that same Spirit. Isn't that cool? There's no stopping you. It doesn't matter where you find yourself here in Lake Katrine today, or you find yourself in a mass of people, or maybe in a foreign country surrounded by heathen and people that don't know Christ. You are still you. You know, there's something in you that will never change, too. Something that God put there. Your character is going to be conformed to the image of Christ. But Jesus had it as a special name for you. Did you know that? The Bible says he has a special name for you that no one knows except you. Excuse me. Except him. You may not even know it now. When you get to heaven, he'll probably tell you what it is. But I have a good guess that name will never change because you are you. I will know you when you get to heaven. because you are you. Your character may have changed. All of that stuff that seems to follow us around, all the chaff of the world will be gone. But, you know, Joni will still be Joni. Jeannie will still be Jeannie. Rick will still be Rick. Peter will still be me. But when you're born of the Spirit, there's no predicting where that's going to lead you. And part of that rock Christ Jesus is exactly that. Remember in John chapter 3, story of Nicodemus. Nicodemus was a Pharisee, ruler of the Jews, it says. And this man came to Jesus by night, was afraid to go by day. Rabbi, he says, you know, we know that you are a teacher from God. No one can do the signs that you do unless God is with him. Gee, that was an intelligent statement. So he's an observer, and he understands truth. He understands the facts of his political environment, religious political environment, and he states it correctly without a spin. All the other Pharisees had all kinds of spin they put on how Jesus did miracles, but Nicodemus did not. Jesus took that opportunity to give us one of the most treasured verses in the Bible, right? But this he also said. He said, Jesus answered him and said, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So you can't see the kingdom of God just because you want to. That rock that's not going to move, the kingdom, sure, it's going to come down to heaven in Christ. It's not going to come down from heaven in some other character, form, or doctrine, but it's come down in the truth of the word, which is immutable, not changeable, will never change, cannot change, will not change. For you, any doctrine, any spin, any president, any country, any society, any history, it doesn't matter. It's not going to move. Unless you're born again, you have to have another life. You can't see the kingdom of God. Not only don't you know about it, you can't even see it. And Nicodemus says, oh, this is crazy stuff. He says, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter his second time in his mother's womb and be born? I'm surprised that he said that. I think he was a smarter man than that, but that's what the scripture says. Jesus said again, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. And then he makes it very clear. That which is born of flesh is flesh. That which is born of spirit is spirit. Paul goes over that many times and says, you are not no longer born of the flesh, but you're born of the spirit when you're in the kingdom of God. Apostle Paul said that over and over in Romans and other places, that we need to be born again. We can't look at things the way we used to think, using our same mindset. We need an open kitchen. We need to have this style of clothes. We need to have a new car. We need a new government. We need a new president. We need. None of that's going to help you. None of that will help you. There's no psychiatrist that can help you. No drug that can help you. It is the rock Christ Jesus and him alone that can help you. There is no other way, Jesus said. He is the way, the truth, and the life. God may use doctors, but as Rad was prophesying this morning, there is only one who is going to be our doctor. It has to be Dr. Jesus. He can use other doctors to do things, but it is his hand, it's his healing, his way. Believe me, I've been through surgery, as some of you know. But I'm telling you, if I were to put my hands in the hands of a surgeon, I'd run away. It's the hand of God that I put myself first. Amen? Amen. Come on. Yes, thank you. Do not marvel that I say to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear sound of it. But I cannot tell you where it comes from and where it's going. So it is everyone who is born of the Spirit. So this thing that's unchangeable, immutable, not able to be changed, is somehow unpredictable as well. Remember what Paul was teaching last Sunday? He says, the scripture is full of paradox, things that are seemingly contradictory but true. That's what a paradox means. He can never change, and yet he's always changing. He says, you are new every morning. How can that be? Because he's conforming you into the image of Christ. All of this cannot happen unless you're born of the Spirit. The rock Christ Jesus cannot be known unless you're born of the Spirit. Because sooner or later, you're going to find yourself the same place you were at years ago. And why haven't I changed? Why hasn't my character become more like Christ? Because somewhere you stopped. You stopped being a lover of the truth. Stopped knowing the rock and started following after what is more convenient. What's tickling your ears? What's the spin? There are better preachers in the Hudson Valley than me. Thank you. No, I'm serious. That would tickle your ears and you'd say, man, that's really good. I ask people why they leave Fountain of Light. Someone will say, oh, it's better preaching, or it's better worship, or there's better this and better that. Well, yeah, but it's the same rock. So are you following the rock, Christ Jesus, or are you following after things? Lastly, and these are just five things that I came up with of why Jesus is a rock. And to me, more importantly, he's an anchor for my soul. He's an anchor. Because I have a tendency to drift. I want to use the word, I have a tendency to leak. In fact, there was one brother, he was saying, he said, I don't know what's his problem, but he just leaks a lot. You know, when I'm with him, he's doing good. And, you know, I ask him what the truth is, and he comes out with it. I come back a couple months later, and he's leaking. It's only a third left. Well, how do you stop leaking? You got to know the rock Christ Jesus if you want to stop leaking. If you want an anchor for your soul, you got to know the rock Christ Jesus. When you go fishing, you find a good fishing spot, put the anchor down, and the fish and you are going to stay in the same place and you're going to go fishing. One technique. Listen, this is really a good scripture where I got the word immutability. It's right there, and I think it's in the New King James Version. So I don't know what your Bible says, but it uses the word immutability here. In Hebrews chapter 6, starting at verse 13. It says, for when God made a promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no one greater, he swore by himself. So we swear when we go into the courtroom upon the Bible or upon what we believed as our something we believe in more than anything else. And it's surprising to me today people still use the Bible. Some people don't. They'll put down, I don't know, some novel or something and swear by that. But anyway, this verse still is true because people swear by what's higher than they are. Surely blessing, I will bless you, and multiplying, I will multiply you. He says this to Abraham. And so after he patiently endured, that is he, Abraham, he obtained the promise. For men indeed swear by greater, that means something better than they are, and an oath for confirmation is for them an end of all dispute. So you swear by it and make an oath. It's like, this is true, I swear. This is true. This is the Bible. Put my hand on the Bible. I swear it's true. So you've done two things. You're swearing by the Bible and you're swearing by an oath. So there's two things that are happening. And so that supposedly is a contract between you and the rest of the world and you and yourself even, that you hold this to be true. Thus God, this is what Paul is saying in Hebrews, thus God determines to show more abundantly to the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel. The word of God is unchangeable. So he takes this promise that he makes to Abraham. He confirms it by an oath. That's what it says here. And by two immutable things, unchangeable, in which it is impossible for God to lie, we might have strong consolation, not just Abraham, we might have strong consolation who have fled for refuge and lay hold of the hope that is set before us. So we are encouraged by this covenant God made with Abraham that, you know, his sons would be like the number of sands on the seashore and the stars in the heavens. And that was an immutable promise. It didn't matter what Abraham did or didn't do. That was going to come true. And Paul is saying that that's wonderful because he made the same kind of promise to us in his son. The rock, Christ Jesus, an anchor to our soul. In fact, that's what it says. This hope we have as an anchor of our soul, both sure and steadfast, which enters the presence behind the veil. So where is this anchor? The Word of God. Where is this anchor? The lover of the truth. Where is this anchor? Being born of the Spirit. The presence of the Lord himself. Behind the presence behind the veil. Where the forerunner has entered for us. Even Jesus. There's only one priest that really belongs in the Holy of Holies. Is that right? Even Jesus having become the high priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. Melchizedek, as you remember, was the priest that Abraham ties to. And he said that he was without beginning, without end. And I remember one of the first teachings that captured my imagination, and I heard it from Dale, was that maybe Melchizedek could have been the type of Christ, or maybe even Christ. And she says, you pray about it. Doesn't that sound like Dale? You pray about it. You're a lover of the truth. You think about what's going on there. But there is only one high priest that can really fulfill the priesthood. All others came short. All others came short. But Jesus is our high priest in heaven. And because he's there making intercession for us, what an anchor for our soul. What a steadfast place to be. I don't have to worry about the diagnosis my doctor gives me anymore. I don't have to worry about the circumstances of life that surround me. You know, I have a lot of things to worry about. You? As you get older, this is funny. I thought about this morning. This first stage of getting older, you worry about where did I put my keys again? Right. So you worry about your keys. The next worry is I'm worried because I don't know where I put my keys. Not just where are my keys, but I'm worried about why don't I remember where I put my keys? I'm worried about that. Then I'm worried that I'm worried about my keys. Is this happening to me? And I thought, you know, this is crazy. You know why? Because I could give Luke or anyone, 6-year-old, my keys, and within 5 minutes they'd be lost. He doesn't worry about where the keys are, why he lost the keys, or is he going to lose them again? So, no problem. God is an anchor to your soul. You don't need to worry about anything that you seem to worry about. Sure, there's going to be things in your life that you have to overcome and find solutions for. Is that right? Yeah. But they're not going to take the place of the rock Christ Jesus in you. They're not become an obsession. I'm worried about myself. I'm worried about my health so much. I need to change my diet again. Or, you know, I don't know. We keep doing things because we're worried. Rather than knowing and being led by the Holy Spirit, rather than being born of the Spirit, not of the flesh. How often the Lord comes to me and says, you know what that was, Peter? And I said, I don't know. What is it? The flesh. Thank you. I will abandon the flesh in a moment's notice. And the Holy Spirit's job is to tell me what the Spirit is and what the flesh is. That's what he does. He's a discerner between the flesh and the Spirit. And so he comes to me and he says, that is the flesh. Thank you. I need to know that. And then he said, it's okay. Because I've made you something of me in you. Something that's not changeable. I am performing a character change in you. But what you have to realize is I'm starting with something that's wonderfully made of my creation, so much so that I will desert all other creation for you. I will even die for you, which he did do. I will even go through all of the scorn and mocking and all of the negative spin that he had to go through before he went to the cross. All of his disciples left him. In a way, his church was a disaster. But there were a few that knew the rock Christ Jesus. It only takes a few. Something about the kingdom of God. It's an anchor to your soul. Steadfast, immutable, not changeable. Sure, it's moving. It's moving from heaven to earth to meet you. But isn't going to change. The kingdom of God, it's going to form you to the everlasting truth, to the rock Christ Jesus. That's going to conform your character to his character. Where you would get angry before and where you would get perturbed and worried and stressed, you will become less and less of that and more of him. Until one day you're going to wake up and say, I'm not the same person. Look at this guy. I look in the mirror now. Don't go there. I look in the mirror now and say, yeah, look at this guy. I say, this isn't the same person. I make the confession. I don't look at him and say, who's this old guy? I say, I am confessing this is a man of God that God has created for this time, this hour, and this space, who is dependent upon the anchor, the rock Christ Jesus, who is dependent on being born of the Spirit and not of flesh, who is dependent on the relationship that he has with his Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. There's not a day that would go by. There's not a day that would go by in which I would desert him. Somebody asked me on Facebook the other day, can you post a picture of the person or animal you miss the most? Really? And I thought a lot of people respond to that with their mother, dad, you know, people that were their heroes in life, or their dog or cat, whatever. And I thought, why is it that I can't come up with one? Lord, why is it that there's not one that I can come up with? And I know I heard from God. He says, because you don't have to miss me. I'm there with you. And you know when you get to heaven, you're going to see your mom and dad. And it doesn't matter about the dog. Things are going to be so much different there. It's going to be a wonderful place. Salvation of the Lord is our inheritance. What a wonderful thing. So, I like change. No, I don't like change. You say, Peter, you like change. You're so able to change. No, I don't. Ask Cheryl. Do I like change? Not so much. I don't like change. But things do change around us. Man, I'd like to go back 1956. I can remember getting in my dad's station wagon, driving to Vermont to our new home. Things changed a lot since then. But you know, things haven't changed a lot. The rock, the immutable God, the Word of God, steadfast and true, the anchor to our soul, our life in the Spirit, those things have not changed. So I put down an anchor to my soul, and I know it's secure. It will never change. Is that a good word? Yeah. It's good for me. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. Lord, I thank you for mercy and grace and all of the gifts that you have given to us in that. But I thank you for yourself, Lord God, that rock, Christ Jesus. And though you come to us, we know that that kingdom is not changeable, immutable. The kingdom, because it's built on your character and righteousness, which is steadfast, never changing. And when you say you love us, each one of us individually, you'll never take that back. It's immutable, not changeable. It doesn't matter what we do. It doesn't matter how we act. You still love us. What a wonderful thing. What kind of mercy and grace is that? What kind of justice is that? Well, that's the justice of the Lord. That's the justice you bring to earth through the cross and dying for us, Lord Jesus. We embrace you in all that you are, the way, the truth, and the life. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.